You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Dan Roebuck and Richard Boxall.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as SSP Chaurasia wins the Hero Indian Open.
It's very important, honestly, for me. Came fourth time second Indian Open and this time I don't lose.
We'll hear more from SSP later. He took the title by two shots from South Korea's Jung-hun Wang and Aniban Lahiri, who pipped his compatriot Chaurasia to win this event last year.
He deserves this and probably locks his place on the Olympic team and a lot of good things for him, so I'm really happy.
So we've a full roundup of the action in New Delhi, and we'll also look ahead to the next event on the European Tour, the WGC Dell Match Play in Austin, Texas. And it's a very good day from me, Dan Roebuck, and I'm pleased to say I'm joined by Richard Boxall. Boxy, how are you?
I'm all right, actually. I've not done one of these with you for quite a long time.
Looking forward to it?
Very much so, yes, very much so. I was watching the finish of the Indian Open yesterday, and it was nice to see Aniban Lahiri, the defending champion. He was at the back of the green. Chaurasia was in trouble with his second shot, tried to lay up, pull-hooked it down the left side, and had a fiddly little third shot, played it up to about 3.5 feet. Beautiful shot, but it was nice to see Lahiri holding his hands up in the air and clapping, you know. I mean, it was, he obviously knew he was going to be nervous. I was surprised at how nervous he was in his interview afterwards because, you know, as a pro, he has won 14 times. And that surprised me because, you know, as you well know, whether it's a monthly medal or whatever, a win is a win. There's a lot that goes with that win, obviously, because he gets his European Tour card back. And, you know, you can plan a lot. So, that yes, there was a lot on it. I was surprised he was as nervous as he said he was, though.
He seemed to make the right decision to lay up because, unlike Lahiri, he couldn't get to the green in two. But yeah, the execution of the second shot was poor, wasn't it?
It's a tough layup. You know, you could take a driver off there and then for sure you'd be able to reach the green in two. It looked like he was hitting like a 5-wood or a 3-wood off the tee. I always thought layups, when you've got a reasonably wide area, I always thought the layups were really difficult because, you know, because you've got too big a target. You know what I mean? Normally you're looking at a flag stick and you think, right, I'll go for the flag, and then you obviously don't hit it straight at it all the time, be a little bit right, a little bit left. But he had quite a fair bit of fairway there, and that sometimes it's so wide it's almost tight, if you know what I mean. And then it's difficult to lay up on the fairway sometimes, you know, when you've got such a wide target.
He was nervous, as you mentioned, had a two-shot lead going into the final day, but obviously given what happened in the event 12 months ago when he was caught by Lahiri and then beaten, yeah, of course, in a playoff, that potentially was playing on his mind throughout the last day.
I would have said definitely. I think it was 76, wasn't it, Danny shot last year in the final round to get into a playoff. And he didn't need to do a massive amount in the respect of scoring-wise. You know, opening up 67, 67, 68, you've set yourself in the perfect spot there at 14 under par starting the final day. He only shot 71 on the last day, one under. I mean, OK, it was enough to get him through. Lahiri coming in, the defending champion, with a 69. But, you know, you still got to shoot. If you shoot 73, you're in a playoff. Well, 73 is only one over. It's very easy to shoot 73. But he had set himself up, as I say, the first three rounds. He was 14 under through the first three.
Lahiri, of course, birdied the first three holes at that stage. You think, well, he's a classy golfer. We know we've seen him on the world stage over the course of the last 18 months, and potentially he was favourite going into the back nine because he played so well going out.
You'd be thinking he's going to go on and win this comfortably, but it didn't turn out that in the end. Birdied the first three and never really got any lower than that. You know, 3-under through three, finishes 3-under.
We talk about playing on Chaurasia's mind because of Lahiri's prowess and the fact that he started well. The fact that Chaurasia's finished second four times in the Indian Open, that must be a concern as well, because we know that the Indians will always love to win their home openers. Everybody does world over.
Yes, that is quite right. I think there were, in tied 10th position, there was two Indian players. So you got three. He had five players in the top 10 from India. Pretty impressive.
See, I always think that in situations like this, you draw inspiration and confidence from the galleries, but some players can fold because of the pressure of the home support.
Yeah, you can. I always think, you know, when the locals play in their own national open, I always think there's a lot more pressure on it. Being a Brit, I always thought the Open Championship was our sort of national open. It was quite hard to win that because it was a major.
I would imagine. What's been good about Chaurasia's game, do you think, over the course of the week? Because we mentioned that he was a little nervous, but in the end he did get the job done, seemed to put out well. He made some decent putts down the stretch, one 15-footer. And on the last as well, he managed to hole out for birdie when he had two shots to play with. So I think all in all, certainly on the greens at least, that seemed to be his 40 over the course of the week.
Most definitely, because he's not a very long hitter. His short game is excellent.
Well, I'm pleased to say we can hear from the new Hero Indian Open champion right now, joining us on the line, SSP Chaurasia. Shiv, congratulations. A long time coming. Second place on four occasions in the Indian Open. You must be pleased.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yes, played very good last week, and this is very important tournament for me, honestly.
Now, listen, Shiv, do you feel a lot more pressure playing in the Indian Open? I watched you yesterday. Your short game is absolutely excellent, and I saw your interview at the end, and you said you were incredibly nervous. You've won 14 times. I was surprised you were as nervous as you said you were.
I was nervous, but I was thinking, no, if you get nervous, then you lose the tournament. So just keep patient and play. So I'm just talking myself, and I'm doing continue breathing slowly, and I just control myself.
No, listen, you did very well, but did you see, you might not have seen it, but when I was watching on the TV yesterday, when you hit that third shot in at the final hole, Lahiri held his hands up in the air and was sort of clapping your shot. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw later on TV, and I'm laughing. I said, wow, he's supporting me.
There was quite a few key moments over the course of the week for you, Shiv. Obviously, Boxy was just mentioning the 18th hole on the last day, but tell us about the chip-in and the par 3 on the Saturday. That was crucial also.
I think it's my turning point in the third round, hole number 12. I was safe par, I was in the bush and then chip out. And then chip in. It's a lucky bird. That's the key, I think, to come back.
Now, listen, Shiv, what were you thinking when your mate Lahiri starts birdie? Were you thinking, oh, beautiful, here we go again?
Saturday night, I spoke to Jeev. I said, Jeev, I came four times second in this event. So tell me something, how to play and tomorrow. You know, I have a big pressure and, you know, I don't want to lose again. So he was telling me everything. Keep patient. If you someone hit, make birdie, continue 3 or 4. Don't get excited, overexcited. So you just play your own game. And I'm just following the same routine what Jeev say. And honestly, it helped me a lot.
It's sound advice, certainly. Jeev Milka Singh we're talking about, of course. Obviously now, you've got your full European Tour playing privileges. So does your schedule change? Mm-hmm. Are we going to see you more on European fairways over the course of 2016?
I already changed my plan, so I play most of the time Europe now. So, and yeah, that's my target.
And what about goals over the course of the season? Because we've seen you win in India, obviously, on the European Tour. Is the next step actually to win on the European Tour on the European continent?
Oh, yeah, that's my next goal, to win outside my country. So that's my actually goal next.
Well, Shiv, many thanks for joining us on the Race to Dubai show. We wish you well for the rest of 2016 and congratulations once again.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, he was SSP Chaurasia's third European Tour victory and his first for over 5 years since that win in the 2011 Avantha Masters. His best European Tour finish had been second place, of course, in the Hero Indian Open 12 months ago. He does indeed love the Delhi Golf Club. His first European Tour title, the 2008 Indian Masters, was also staged there, and he's won at the course on the Asian Tour as well. He becomes the third player to win their first three European Tour victories on home soil, 14th as a professional, as Boxy has pointed out, and he's the third Indian player to win three or more European Tour titles following, he mentioned, Jeev Milka Singh, who's got four. Do you know the other one, Boxy?
I think the other one's Arjun Atwell, isn't
correct.
It?
Correct, great knowledge. It moves him to 20th on the Race to Dubai and 151st in the official world golf rankings. That's from 243rd, so he nearly jumps 100 spots. Let's hear from the best of the rest in New Delhi. Tied second were two players, including the defending champion Anirban Lahiri, whose birdies on the first three holes briefly saw him share the final round lead with his compatriot.
It was pretty intense. It was nice to get off to that start. Just lost momentum after that. You know, missed quite a few putts from 15, 20 feet. Gave myself a lot of looks. But I think at the end of the day, SSP, hung tough, really tough in the end.
Might be a silly question, but is it easier to cope when you know you've already got a Hero Indian Open in the bag?
It's not quite as painful as it would have been 3 years ago, that's for sure. But nothing's quite as sweet as being the Indian Open champion. So, obviously a disappointing finish after a very promising start. But I'm really happy for SSP. This is huge for him. we were joined second 3 or 4 years ago, and he finished second again last year. I think the 4 times he's finished second. So, you know, he deserves this and probably locks his place on the Olympic team and a lot of good things for him. So I'm really happy.
Nick Dye with the questions there. Anirban Lahiri, who was second. And Anirban, you feel, is one of those golfers that has stepped up beyond the Asian Tour. We're talking about how difficult the players find it outside of their home country, but this particular player you feel can go far in the game.
I do, yeah. I mean, he's amazing how he pops up. He pops up, you know, you see him in, he goes and plays in America as well. Majors and stuff like that, sometimes he appears on there. He's under quite a bit of pressure, the Indian, it has to be said, but it looks to me like he can handle it.
We will see much of Anirban Lahiri, you would have thought, over the course of 2016. Also tied second with South Korea's Jung-hun Wang.
It's really great week for me, and I don't have any regret today. I play really well. Also, I got lucky on the last hole, second shot, so I'm so happy with that. Thank you so much, India.
The Korean who finished 66-68 to tie second. Another nice performance, Boxy.
Yeah, it was. I watched him finish as well. In fact, he was the one who snap-hooked it, didn't he, into the trees down the left at the 18th with his second shot and then went on the move. And I thought, why is he not playing a provisional ball there? Fortunately, the wood had spat it back out into the middle of the fairway, didn't take advantage of it. Made a 5 down the final hole, but he was sort of smiling away, and that can only come from when you've seen your ball spat back out to the middle of the fairway, last hole, last day.
Two players also tied for fourth place, Brazil's Adson da Silva and Angelo Kay of the Philippines, with the latter taking great satisfaction from his 7-under-par final round.
Especially in this course, you know, you shoot a bogey-free 65, you know, that's something. And I'm very happy, you know, especially coming in on a Thursday morning. You know, I did it before, and I almost won the event, and I think that's a good strategy for me. I might keep doing that now, and hopefully it'll keep working for me.
Can't argue with a final round from Angelo, can we?
Best of the day, 65. You knock that in on the final day, you're going to jump up some spots. 70, 71 and 70, first three rounds.
Let's get the top 10 then from the 2016 Hero Indian Open.
OK, there's quite a big tie for 10th, actually, at 9-under par. Julian Ken, David Lipsky, Shiv Kapoor, Ganji and Jorge. I think it's Jorge Campillo. I think that's how you pronounce it. Anyway, they finished at minus 9, tied 10th. And then we had 6th, 7th, 8th and 9th was Tangarajan. That's a good attempt there, Richard, but I'll get away with that one. Rashid Khan, Daniel Im and Gregory Havare at minus 10. Minus 12, there was two players, Da Silva and Angelo Kay, with that 65 best of the day final round. And then Wang was in there at 275, which is 13 under par, tied with Anirban Lahiri. But your winner was SSP Chaurasia, known as Shiv, at 15 under par.
And one more thing to mention about last week's tournament before we move on, and that is Lee Slattery's spectacular albatross on the 8th hole of his second round. It was his first, Boxy.
Yes.
In 926 rounds on the European Tour, and the Tour's first of the season, the Englishman took just the two perfect swings of his three wood to cover the 518-yard par 5. It was only the 95th albatross in European Tour history of the previous 94. Do we see the name of Richard Boxall alongside any?
We don't know, and I have to say, looking at that, 518 yards, they got par 4s that length nowadays. Good eagle.
Last week's tips, Jamie Spence went for Romain Wattel, who missed the cut. He's nothing if not consistent, Mr. Spence.
Oh, really? Has he had a few of those, has he? Bless him. He's a good player. I tell you what, I mean, Romain Wattel, he's very sort of up and down, Romain Wattel, and it won't be long till he wins the tournament.
And Robert Lee,
yes,
tipped up Paul Dunn. And to be fair to Rob, he's getting closer to breaking the top 50. Mr. Dunn was tied 58th. Not long to wait now for the new improved Fantasy Race 2 Dubai. Keep checking the My European Tour section on europeantour.com. The first tournament for fantasy selection will be the Masters. Richard, we need the top 10 in the Race 2 Dubai standings.
Well, I shall tell you now that Andy Sullivan is 10th, 9th is Chris Wood, Louis Oosthuizen is 8th, 7th is the Australian Marcus Fraser, Rafael Cabrera Bayo is 6th, 5th is Charles Schwartzel, Rory McIlroy is now in 4th, 3rd is Brandon Grace, Henrik Stenson is 2nd, and Danny Willett, the massively improved Danny Willett, is number 1.
On the PGA Tour, Jason Day held off the challenge of Kevin Chappell to win the Arnold Palmer Invitational by one shot. US PGA Champion Day sank a 12-foot putt for birdie on the 17th and rescued par from the bunker on 18 to finish on 17 under to claim his first win of the season.
It's great to finally get this win. I mean, I've been talking about it, you know, since the start of the year. Everyone's asking what's going on. You know, why aren't you playing that great? And I've been saying, you know, just it's a process. Come on. I just want to kind of stick to what I've been working on and be patient with myself. And the process finally paid off this week. I've been working really, really hard. I mean, I have not stopped. I've had to sacrifice a little bit of time spending with the family just so that I could work a little bit harder, you know, really focus on my golf game. You know, it's finally paid off.
Given what he did towards the back end of 2015, when he was winning pretty much every single week, I guess we expected more from Jason into 2016. But he did take time off and he's got his win now.
Yeah, I think the other thing is I had a period where I played well and I think I was on the leaderboard for 11 tournaments on the trot. You know, when you've had the wins that he's had, you want to get back on that leaderboard again. And if it doesn't quite work out, you know, and you don't quite get there, I think you struggle a little bit. You want to be back up on the top in contention. And you can try and force it just a little bit too much. And I think that's probably what he's done when he's talking about a process. It's all fallen into place yesterday, didn't it?
Sweden's Henrik Stenson was third, while Paul Casey, Justin Rose and Francesco Molinari tied for ninth place. Rory McIlroy closed with a 7-under-par 65 despite a double bogey on the 14th, but finished 11 shots adrift of day. Just a word on McIlroy. Boxy?
Yeah.
Has he sorted his putting out, do we think?
Do you know what? I think his putting looks pretty good, left below right. And to take it out on the course, you know, it's really hard to do. And, you know, people say, oh, what's up with his game? I mean, you know, OK, what do you have? Double bogey on the 14th. Where did he finish? 11 shots, but still 65. So, you know, you don't shoot too many of those in a season. You really don't shoot loads of 65. So if you're shooting 65, what's wrong with your game? Answer, nothing.
Well, was that 65 enough to keep McIlroy at number 2 in the official world golf rankings? Richard?
The answer to that is no, but he's certainly not out of the top 10. You've got in 10th spot is Patrick Reed. Dustin Johnson's 9th, 8th. Is the Englishman Justin Rose. Henrik Stenson is now 7th. Adam Scott is 6th. Ricky Fowler's 5th. Bubba Watson is at 4th. 3rd now is Rory McIlroy, the man you're inquiring about there, Dan. And Jason Day is now in 2nd spot, and Jordan Spieth still leads the way. Week 12 of the world ranking.
It's been a brilliant start, hasn't it, for those big-name players, really?
But, you know, but isn't it nice to see, like you know, Stenson, Rose, Danny Willett now is just outside. Danny Willett's 11th. Brandon Grace, I class them all as our European players, you know what I mean?
Well, meanwhile, two-time champion Jose Maria Olazabal has confirmed he will not play in the Masters next month. Due to health reasons, the Spaniard has not played a competitive round since the second day at Augusta National last year. And Sweden, Sebastian Söderberg claimed a maiden European Challenge Tour victory, winning the Barclays Kenya Open by 3 shots. It was the first event of the Challenge Tour's 2016 season. The next stop on the race to Dubai is the WGC Dell Match Play in Austin, Texas. It's the second WGC of the year. Rory McIlroy is the defending champion, but this is a different course from last year, and we've got a new sponsor as well, Boxy.
Which is all very nice to see, but you've also got to remember the players haven't got a scorecard and a pencil in their back pocket. So, in effect, you get the right player on his wrong day. You know, you could shoot 72, 73 and still win. So you don't necessarily need to shoot loads under par if you're going to win this WGC event.
Of course, the format changed last year. We're keeping it broadly this year, slight tweaks to how we play. But in terms of generally for those wanting to watch, it's round robin and we've got groups of 4.
Well, the format this year is there's going to be 16 groups of 4. So it's a round robin, so they all play each other. If there's a tie, you get half a point each. The whole idea of it is to get one from each group to go through to the last 16. Then there's a quarterfinals, then there's a semi, and then there's the final.
Previously, of course, good players could get knocked out in the first round, even if they shot a good score. This is a bit of a safety net, isn't it? The round
it is, in a way, a little bit. The way you look at it is you could lose your first game, but you could still go through because you've got another 2 games.
Boxy, what do we know about the course? Because it is different and it hasn't been used before for the match play.
The Austin Country Club has not, no. Designed by Peter Dye in 1984. Pretty well renowned for its rolling fairways and pot bunkers, but there are some spectacular views out there.
It's going to be a big test for the players. We need some selections. Who are you going for glory?
Going for glory? I shall pluck one out of the cap here. I think, here we go. Let's go for Matthew Fitzpatrick.
Well, that was a well-considered selection. I'm going to go for Paul Casey. who's been second in the match play previously, and you just feel he's starting to get back to the dizzy heights that he scaled not so long ago.
Yeah, he is playing nicely, that is for sure. I mean, Matthew Fitzpatrick would have played quite a lot of match play as an amateur, and he's a fine player. He won the British Masters in association with Sky Sports, so he's going to have plenty more wins in his life.
Could be ready to step up and claim a WGC title. Well, that just about wraps it up from us for now. We'll be back next week to reflect on the WGC Dell match play, and we'll start to look ahead to the season's first major, the Masters at Augusta. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. But for now, from Mr. Boxall,
bye,
and myself, Dan Roebuck, it is goodbye. Have a great week. We'll speak to you soon.